Mr. Rubin, do you keep in touch with most of them?
Yes. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I spoke to my cousin, who was the president of the Value City department store and the Value City Furniture Company, and also the American Eagle Clothing Company. Yes. Yes, we're very close. And we have an excellent relationship.
Could you describe what type of school you went to? For elementary school or high school?
Well, it's a regular public school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was, I don't think that time there was anything as such as private schools. Even there were not any private Jewish schools either at that time. We went to Hebrew school. We had to take a trolley. It would take us an hour, hour and a half going and coming. But it was accomplished, it was done. And then after that, after a few years, why, we had a teacher come in to the, come over to the house and prepare me for my bar mitzvah.
Was it a rabbi or?
No, he wasn't a rabbi. He was a, we call him a lama.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yes.
And what kind of bar mitzvah celebration did you have?
Well, in fact, that's interesting. I had two speeches, one in Hebrew and one in English.
So you gave your bar mitzvah speech in Hebrew too?
Absolutely. Yes. In Hebrew as well as English. And repeated it on Sunday. We had a dinner for the family at the synagogue, family and friends. And I repeated the two speeches.
Did you speak Hebrew, or do you speak Hebrew?
No, I don't speak Hebrew, but these the speeches were in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Prepared by our rabbi, at that time was Rabbi Werner. I'm going back 70 years.
Time for Bar Mitzvah again.
Yes, that's right.
And what, before we leave high school or elementary school, are there any friends that you'd like to recall or tell us about? Or any specific teacher?
Not necessarily. I had a friend in Columbus and who was still living, and my friends were in the retail fur business. Jack Bloom, we were very, very friendly. Jack and his brother Morris were. And, those were my two closest friends.
Did you attend camp during the summer?
Yes,
or how did you spend?
Yes, I had camp at, in fact, it was the Schoenthal camp. At Schoenthal camp at in Columbus, Ohio. It was about 50 miles from Columbus. And I went to camp several years at the Schoenthal camp there. It was in, Springfield, but it wasn't near Richwood, Ohio. Yes.
And this was an overnight camp?
Was it a Jewish camp?
It was a Jewish camp?
Yes, it was a Jewish camp. Yes, definitely a Schoenthal camp. Yes, it was a Jewish, oh sure. Yes. Mr. Schoenthal was a civic leader in Columbus, Ohio, in the Christian and Jewish community. Oh, yes. In fact, there today, I think it's still there, the Schoenthal Center. Yes.
Okay. Could you describe life in Columbus in terms of politics, Jewish community itself, what kind of Jewish community Columbus had, how the Jewish community and the Christian community or the Gentile community got along? Can you just give us a sense of the city?
Well, Columbus at that time, we were going back 50, 60 years. Columbus was a small city. Columbus was not as productive as they are today. Columbus at that time, in fact, we had very little industry in Columbus because of the Chamber of Commerce did not want National Cash, NCR, National Cash Register, was supposed to settle in Columbus. And the Chamber of Commerce voted them out, and eventually they went to Dayton, Ohio. The purpose was that they didn't want to compete with the salaries and the wages. And yes, Columbus is the capital of the state of Ohio, yes. So as a result, as I said, we were not an industrial city. During the Depression, we had only one bank that went bad. And eventually, they paid off 100 cents on the dollar.
Is that right?
Yes, that's true. Yes. I think it wasn't the Buckeye building alone. It was the one across the street. I can't remember that name now. But I do remember that, yes. Columbus was a very stable city. Everybody made a nice living. But in Columbus, at that time, population was, I'd say, approximately 200,000 population. Today it's 500,000. Columbus is a very prosperous city for that.
And how did the Jewish community fit in there?
Well, the Jewish community was not a part of the Jewish community was at that time we had one synagogue and two temples, the Orthodox synagogue, the Conservative, and the Reform. And it's very interesting that the young man who was just received world publicity Folkman, Dr. Folkman, who is presently in Boston, Mass., was raised in Columbus, Ohio. His father was a rabbi from the Reformed Temple. And I think you've heard that name here recently?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In fact, they're honoring him in Columbus at a dinner in the month of September, I think. And there were two children, he and his sister. Now, his sister had some connection here with Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh.
Is she also a doctor?
Yes. She's a doctor, and I think she married a doctor as well. I think I'm correct on that statement. But he was a young man, went to high school and to university, and certainly made a wonderful name for himself after all these years. He came from a wonderful family. I knew his father and mother very well. Yes. That's quite a feather in his cap, being from Columbus, Ohio. And everybody was so anxious to have him back, so they're having a dinner for him in Columbus.
He didn't forget his roots.
No, he didn't forget
either.
His roots. No, I should say he didn't.
Mr. Rubin, what did you study at Ohio State?
Why, I was in basic arts, and I intended to go into law, That was my goal, but I didn't make it. In fact, the truth of the matter is, after I left Ohio State, I attended the Franklin University Night School, Law School, for a year or two, but there was too much involvement in our business, and I just couldn't. There was no way that I could see my way clear to continue in law school. So I just left immediately and went into our business on a full-time basis.
Can you describe how you met your wife?
My first wife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through a family member. I was introduced to my wife through a family member. She had one brother who was still living in Columbus, and he was a physician, Dr. Jack Silverstein, who retired in the last 3 years. And he's been a doctor in Columbus for over 50 years. He was an internist. And there were just two children in the family, my wife and he. My father-in-law's business today is managed and run by his nephew, Bruce Silverstein, who graduated law and went immediately into his my grandfather's business.
Which is?
Columbus Pipe and Equipment Company.
And did you have a long courtship or?
My courtship lasted about a year and a half.
And when did you marry again?
I married in 1962, yes.
Did she have any?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was in the 40s, 1942 perhaps?
What about the 60s?
No, she said, I thought you were talking about, you said, when did I marry again?
When did you marry the first time?
Oh, first time was in 1942. Mm-hmm. Yes, 1942.
Did your wife have a career or anything?
No, she attended Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
for 2 years, and when she when we met, and then she did not graduate, and we got married. And that was the end of her school year. Yes, and that was the end of her education. And after we were married for a year and a half, then our first child was born, Barbara, who now lives in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. And Barbara's with the Wheeler Clinic and social work, and she's in charge of adopted children's program. My youngest daughter, Judy, lives in Pittsburgh, married to Dr. Barry Halpert, the cardiologist. And she has 3 children. In fact, she is a grandmother now, which makes me a great grandfather.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Just about 6 weeks ago, yes. The child was born to her daughter, Lori, who is married to Dr. Ben Smoller, who is a neurologist.
And who are your other grandchildren?
Well, the other grandchildren, besides the 3 of Josh, who is Judy's oldest boy, and Craig, who is the youngest. And then when I married Ethel, her 2 children, Claire, has four children, who I'm very close to. And the oldest, Susie, who is presently taking her doctorate degree at the University of Arizona, doctorate in doctor in philosophy. The second oldest, Richard, who is first year has just who has just finished his first year dental school at Pitt. Should I go in and tell you something interesting about him?
Absolutely.
Richard, when he first applied, this is very, you haven't heard that story.
No.
I know you haven't. When Richard first applied, he graduated Shadyside Academy. When he first applied, he went to the library to find information on dentistry for a freshman in dentistry. He couldn't find any book that told him anything about dentistry. He said to his professor, "I can't find any information. What would you suggest?" He says, "Mr. Lehman, there isn't any information on dentistry, unfortunately." He says, "But," he said, "after speaking to you and knowing you for a few weeks," he says, "you'd be the right one to write a book on the entrance to freshman dentistry." Well, he thought about it, and he undertook that obligation. Last June, he just finished that book.
This past June?
Last June. And sent it to New York, the publishing company. And the book will be published, but he did this with the help of his sister, Susie, who is exceedingly bright. And so is Richard, but they did it together, and also with various chapters from professors at the school, so forth and so on. And we're waiting to hear the results of the book. Now, he showed us the written book before he sent it out. We went over it. It was just, my God, it must be at least a couple hundred pages, you know? Yes. And we're looking to hear, but I'm sure it'll be, I'm positive the book will be accepted. Now, incidentally, during the time he was writing the book, he wrote an essay for dentistry, part of his work for school. It was so well done that the professor sent him to Chicago to speak before the American Dental Society. So
what
we're
year?
Looking.
What year was he in school?
First year. Now he's on a trip now, but he'll be back. He should be back this coming week. Very shortly, he'll start his second year at school. And he loves dentistry. He just loves it. So thank God for that. The second boy, John, J-O-N. John is attending the University of Florida. In Gainesburg, Gainesville, Florida, and he's finishing his. He just finished his second year. He's going into his third year, and he's going into law, and he'll make an excellent lawyer. Also very bright. The youngest, Dewey, who has just finished her first year at the University of Michigan, and Dewey has all intentions of going into medicine. So these kids have really accomplished quite a bit.
Sounds like they all have.
Yes, very much so. And Josh, my grandson, Judy's, is also in law. And this is his third year law at the Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon. The college is Northwestern University, who is in charge of the law school at Lewis and Clark. Now, you know who made that name famous here recently?
Who made the Lewis and Clark University famous? No, I don't. Who?
Lewinsky.
Is that what she ran?
Right. So she read
yes. Yeah.
I didn't read everything about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
know if that's a big deal or not.
Yeah. It's a conversation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So you mentioned Lewis and Clark, you know, all at once it became a prominent name. And my daughter, my granddaughter, Lori, she graduated. In fact, Josh graduated at the University of Pennsylvania. And then we met his wife there, who also graduated. And she was from Portland, Oregon. So that's how he got it. That's how he ended up in Portland, Oregon. She graduated in education. And we got married after we graduated. Josh is a very fine boy. In fact, he wants to enter politics. In fact, about 5 years ago, when he was living in Pittsburgh, he asked me if I would intervene for him with Congressman, which I did, and he became a page for about 4 months in Washington.
Yeah.
And he loved it, you know. So he's really had a flair for politics. And this is what he's doing in Portland. In Portland, he was asked to manage a political office there, and so he's going to night school now, the law school, so he can do his job during the day. So he's very much involved with politics. He loves it. In fact, he had all good intentions to come back for the summer here, and if I would get in touch with someone, he wanted to work in the mayor's office. So, you know, he was hired. Dan Cohn hired him, and then a week later, he got this job in Portland. In fact, his wife was there. I better stay there. So he did not come to Pittsburgh. So, he'll do well, too. He's very bright. He's a very, very good boy.
So, it sounds like
that's it. And then our son Mark, who has two children in Washington, D.C. And Mark is a lawyer in Washington. Mark is a lawyer who was formerly with the Food and Drug Administration for about 15 years and decided to go into private practice. And he was hired in a Washington law firm, who are the attorneys to the White House. I'll give you that name. This is very important. Let me get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
My son Mark is with Patton, Boggs, and Blow. Yes. Bowton. Boggs. Boggs. And Blow, Blow. He was there for, at least 5 or 6 years until he was asked to join a firm in Washington by the name of Hale and Darr.
H-A-L-E,
D-A-R-R. Also a very large law firm there. Mark has been, practiced with the Food and Drug Administration, and after he left government, he went to Patton, Boggs, and Blow. Now Boggs, the woman who's on Sunday morning, she's a Boggs, and that's her brother that's in this law firm. What's her name? You know, you see her so often, you never think of her name anymore. What's her name? She's on 11 o'clock Sunday
Cokie
morning.
Cokie Roberts?
That's yes. It, Cokie. Yes, Cokie Roberts, exactly. That's her brother, and her father, of course, was a senator. And that's how the law firm was started, as I understand. And he was there for several years, then he went to Hale and Darr. And his present position takes him all over the world. He is representing companies who he formerly
prosecuted. Now, his specialty is, medical devices, hospital beds, anything that has to do with medicine, anything that has to do with drugs or medicine that has to be examined, he is representing these companies. So he's in Germany, he's in France, he goes to France in the morning and comes back at night.
So hope he has lunch.
Yes, his mother worries about that.
And see,
his wife Barbara is an architect, and a very successful architect in Washington, who has her own architectural firm, and she has, I understand, four people working for her, also very successful. And they have a lovely family. They have two boys. One is Seth, who will be 15 this year, and David, who will be 10. And two lovely boys.
Sounds like you have a lot of nurses from your family.
Yes, thank you. As long as everybody stays well.
I'd like to move on to you and Ethel in a moment. But could you tell me what happened with your first marriage?
Well, my first wife passed away in September. September 59. She came ill for 10 days, and she had a edema on the brain. And she was operated on here in Pittsburgh at the Volunteer Hospital. The operation was very successful. I spoke to her that night after 11 hours on the operating table. But at that time, this goes back about 40 years now, no one survived that operation. Infection set in after the third day. No way they could save her. There was no chance. And I was left with the two girls.
And,
yes, Barbara was 15 and Judy was 13. The same time of the year, I'm 15. And 2 years later, I met Ethel and we got married. And Ethel had two children, so I thought that was well balanced. Yes.
What year were you and Ethel married?
1962. Mm-hmm.
And her children were young also.
Yes, daughter Clara was just about Barbara's age. Mark is younger than Clara, about a year or two younger than Clara. Yes. And my Judy was Judy was just 51. Okay. And Barbara was 53. Okay. Mark is another dog. A year younger, maybe 52. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where did your family grow up here? Where did you live?
Well, we, as I said, when I first came to Pittsburgh, we could never find a house to live in because of the conditions that existed during the war. And after a year, I bought a four-apartment duplex at the Shady and Shady and Forbes, where the present Maxim Tower stands, and at that corner,
you've been here all your life.
Most of it. There was a gas station there.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Okay.
Right next to the gas station was a four apartment. There were three or four buildings there.
Three, four. I think
there were four. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I purchased the one right next to the gas station.
And
we lived there until we built our home on the Beachwood Boulevard, 1229.
You got a beautiful home. You know the house.
You know the house.
And
I lived there for 2 years after my wife passed away. And then I went into an apartment on Fifth Avenue. And after I met Ethel, then we bought a house, bought a home on Green Road, second house off the park. It was a very nice home. In fact, there were a very friendly group of people who owned this house, but they were not the ones
to whom we had sold the house. Later on,
as I became involved with the Jewish Home, I had met this Phyllis Nissel. You know Phyllis?
A very lovely woman. And she and her husband bought this home from
the people tell me we had sold our house. And I said, you can come there and get friends with that was my husband. And then after we were there 12 years, and we moved into this apartment, after the children were out of the house, on their own, which made good sense. So we've enjoyed this apartment very, very much.
Did you be here since 19?
In this apartment? We've been here since 7. Well, we've been here since 1975, I would say. Yes, about 20, well, actually we've been here 25 years. So 25 years goes back to 1973. Yes.
When you were raising your children, what kind of celebrations did you have? What kind of religion was there in the house?
Well, when I came here, I joined Beshlong. At that time, Rabbi Rose's wife, Alpi, was my mother's first cousin. That is the only relative, actual relative, here in Pittsburgh. Rabbi Rose and, you never knew that, Mrs. Rose, okay. And
my mother was very close to me.